new venture.
Yeah, well, I was reading it before you came, and it's amazing the concepts that can be distilled down and the important concepts into a children's book and how applicable they are for adults as well.
Yeah.
And I guess we can start who and what was the inspiration behind Henry the Brave?
Yeah, so Henry is my nephew who is a childhood cancer survivor. He was diagnosed just before his second birthday. And when he was diagnosed, I just wrote this little thing for him. I'm strong, I'm tough, I'm armed with love. I will fight, I will win, I'm Henry the Brave. And I just wrote it one day. And so that really stuck, and he was always Henry the Brave to our family. So, he is now seven and a half. He's coming up on 5 years cancer-free. So, his is a success story for sure. But throughout that whole experience, there were just a lot of moments of inspiration of watching a two-year-old battle cancer, just, things that you can learn from them, just the experience that our family went through. And, I thought it'd be cool to put that in a book.
So did you, as he was diagnosed and went through treatment, and I'm sure family and friends were rallying behind him, did you put yourself back in the shoes of a young kid and trying to understand his perspective as a youngster?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the things that kind of stuck with me is, it's a cancer diagnosis is terrible at any age, but 2-year-old, they have no idea what's going on. They don't really understand why they're, stuck in the hospital, why they can't go home.
There's
why
no
they're
context for anything.
Nothing. Why they're getting poked and prodded. Why, mom and dad are making them go through this. And it just stuck with me, that's even just more traumatic. And as the adults in the situation, there's really not much you can do about it. But it was also cool to see, us, the family, and then just the caregivers and the nurses, the doctors, how they deal with that, being with just dealing with the child who doesn't really know what's happening, but trying to, still make them feel safe and comfortable, and really also just having moments where they can still be a kid, right? They're stuck in a hospital, but, how can there still be some play and some fun and some normalcy as well?
Absolutely.
So,
and you'd mentioned that you had done some writing, journals and other mediums. At what point in the process did you start to have the idea to write a book? And, what was was it therapeutic for you and the family? Was it always directed towards, Henry as you got a little bit older and could understand the context of what was happening? But when did you start to think about that?
I think pretty early on, I thought that it would be really just a cool thing to take such a negative and traumatic experience and have something positive come out of it. I do think it was also a level of, therapeutic for me, just to, I'm just a big believer in the power of words and putting experiences on paper. And so when I would do that for the experience for me, that's not something that Henry would ever read or I would really share with people, just my personal experience. And so that kind of morphed into, well, what if I tried to put that into a children's book? And it was several years before I really decided to move forward with it. Mm-hmm. I had this idea, and every once in a while it would kind of come to the forefront of my mind again and be like, oh, I should follow through with that. And then the story would kind of progress in my head, and I would just jot down little notes. And then a couple years ago, finally, I was like, I'm just going to do it. And at that point I thought it would be much more of just a passion project. Maybe I just throw something together. And then as the project progressed, it just turned into, what it is now, and a much kind of bigger final product than I thought. So yeah, that's kind of the journey of where the idea came from and turned into a book.
Yeah, I think it's a really, obviously it's very inspirational. It's also, I'm sure you learned a lot about just the process of publishing something and creating something and manufacturing something and, distributing something. And, I talk to people in the construction business, engineers, designers, people, you know, typically in the trades, hands-on business side of things, but there's always a lot of creativity in anything you can do. But in this process, it's not just about the creativity and the writing process. You also have to create the actual physical product. What did that process look like? When did you decide to self-publish? I guess, what were your options for actually creating the book?
Yeah, I think that was, it's one of those things that it's really good. I didn't know the reality of what it would look like before I went into it. That's one thing of just being naive.
It's a common thread when you talk to people that have done something hard. If you knew how hard it was going to be when you started, you probably wouldn't take the first step.
Yeah, because honestly, when I started, all I was thinking of is the story and writing it. And then when I decided, you know, to actually turn it into a book, it was first figuring out, okay, what does that look like? You know, self-publishing, finding a publisher. I was pretty clear early on getting published as just a kind of no-name passion project kind of thing. It's pretty tough. So I thought, well, that's fine. You know, I'll just go the self-published route. But with that comes, you know, normally if you write a book, the publisher, they handle, you know, they handle the illustrations, the editing, the final, you know, making the book itself. So with self-publishing came, you know, figuring out all those other pieces. And it's a good story of, you can, if you have the internet, you can figure out how to do anything. I mean, I just Googled everything from how to write a children's book, how to print a book, how to find an illustrator. And throughout the process, I was just connected with some really, you know, incredible resources. Once I had the story kind of finished, I think the biggest step was finding an illustrator. And I actually put, I was living in Chicago at the time, and I just, on my neighborhood Facebook page in the area I was living, I just said, hey, anyone, you know, an illustrator, you know, by... as a career, a student, hobby, anything, just, you know, I'd love to connect. And I got just flooded with responses. And I, you know, went through the process of just meeting with different illustrators, talking about the process, their pricing, you know, all the different ins and outs of that. And so through there, I found my illustrator, Ben, who was just really incredible. And from the moment I talked to him, I just knew that he was the right person for the job.
So had Ben, did he specialize in children's books?
So he's actually a teacher, and he, you know, does illustrations and stuff kind of on the side. And he had done a coloring book for someone in Chicago, and that's how I got connected with him. So he had done, I think, one other children's book before that, and now he's doing a little bit more of that, but still teacher, you know, by day. But the second I talked to him, and then we shared, you know, he shared some ideas for illustrations, he sent me some character concepts, and that really, in my mind, just took the story and brought it to life. And from then on, I could really kind of see the story along with just, you know, reading it. So it was a really flexible and fluid process with him. We just, you know, a lot of back and forth. He lives in Indiana, so none of it was in person. It was all just, you know, via email and phone of just going back and forth. But, you know, he did an incredible job, and it's really his illustrations that I think kind of brought everything to life.
So you were in charge of the creative side, finding all your vendors and your partners to help you out, managing the project. That was... How long did the whole process take?
It was, when I really decided to, that I was going to go forward with this, it was probably about a year of finalizing the story, you know, working on it here and there. And then another year to really, like, do all the illustrations, the printing, working with an editor. It was one of those things where I would work on it a lot for a month, and then just, you know, life would get in the way and, you know, work and other things. So it was about 2 years of semi-committed work from start to finish.
So what is your process for, you know, some of the creative things that you do? What is your process for getting the ideas and the thoughts out of your brain onto paper, not necessarily in a finished form? But do you record things on your phone? Do you wake up in the middle of the night with aha moments and like comedians, you take out your notepad and you write it down? Or what is the process of idea and inspiration to initial kind of rough notes? What does that look like for you?
Yeah. For me, it does normally come in not when I'm like, I'm going to sit down and write. That's normally when it's like.
You can't force it. Right?
Nothing comes. Yeah. I get a lot of inspiration when I'm like either outside, like on walks in nature or working out. Those are usually the times when I'm like grabbing my phone and jotting down notes. And so typically I wait for something like that to come. And then once I have that little kind of nugget of inspiration, then I can sit down with my notebook and just kind of hash it out. I'm really big into just kind of free writing. So just, you know, thoughts to
flow.
Yeah. Flow. Just don't edit it. Don't think about what you're saying. Just let it go. If, you know, it takes a weird left turn, just go with it.
Yep.
Because I think that's just kind of how I think. And I think that's where things come up that maybe you weren't necessarily going in with the intention of that. But that's, to me, that's kind of where the inspiration lies.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've done a little bit of writing. I was in a band for a long time and wrote some songs and have written other things and some work related projects. And I've always found the process of formal writing to almost inhibit creativity at times. Where I also drive a lot, so what I often do is I will just start thinking about something. Could be a product idea, could be a marketing idea, could be really any problem that we have. And you're right, just start getting it out of your head. And then over time, you know, you have a log of these ideas, and then you can start to pull in experts to kind of help hash it out. You know, in your case, illustrators, I'm sure they're, the book vendor or other people had certain ideas throughout the process. But it does seem as though at times, especially in a business context, you know, the more formal something has to be, like the less creativity is actually involved and the worse the final product is. You know, some of the chaos and the random ideas and the random interactions are oftentimes, they oftentimes produce some of the best stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I worked with a really incredible editor on this, and, we talked about that a lot too, because, she basically said, like, your job when writing is just to, you're the idea person.
Yeah.
You don't need to necessarily be the most technical writer.
Yep.
You don't know. She said, that's my job.
Yep.
And my job is, though, I can't come up with the idea, So, she's like, basically, I want you to get your story out. Don't overanalyze it.
That's great.
And then we'll have a lot of back and forth. And she's like, and the technical stuff, I'll deal with that. And once she gave me kind of that freedom, it was just like, because like you said, it's like I had the idea, but then I was just really caught up on how to write it. And also, I mean, it's a children's book, so one would think it's not that hard to write a 32 page picture book, but
there's actually,
but it's surprising that, to fit a lot of concepts or a story into that amount, and not being someone who, writes in story form, saying that in the beginning gave me a lot of freedom, and it did help with that process.
And there's multiple disciplines going on here. It's writing, it's illustrating, it's putting the context of the the audience. It's a sad but then a happy story, and flowing between those two things. If it's a standard book, it's some text and no illustrations, and you can kind of focus on that part of it. So, but no, it was. I remember when I started reading it, I was like immediately brought back to, as being a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, and you're just putting yourself in that position. Again, I think there's probably a lot of lessons for kids, parents, teachers, doctors, nurses, anybody that, has to work with kids in that situation.
Yeah. And I did want it to be a book that, yes, it's about cancer and, that's the inspiration, but I wanted it to be a book that any kid can enjoy when they pick it up, and any parent can enjoy, you know, because there's good lessons and there's a good story, and it's, kind of this hero's journey. So whether you know anything or have any experience with cancer, doesn't really matter. If you do, obviously it's going to have a much more personal meaning. And that was the other thing the editor really was really good at working on me with, was, the initial story went through a lot of, changes, and the original was very much more Henry specific, much more, my experience and my family's experience. And just we went back and forth a lot about, you know, do we want this final story to be Henry's very specific story or a story that can kind of connect with a larger audience? And how do we still keep the important aspects of it and the aspects that feel true to me and Henry's journey with still reaching those other connection points? So that was a really interesting part of the process, too, of just kind of working through that.
When you were kind of assessing your various options, did you reach out to any of the turnkey, like, book creators and publishers? I know there's one company called Book in a Box. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but I had heard about them many, many years ago. And when my wife and I bought our first house, I remember the realtor had mentioned that she was interested in writing a book. And I said, oh, you should check out this company called Book in a Box. But their business model was to more or less create this ghostwriting process where you could go to their office, sit down for 2 days and interact with their staff and extract everything out of the author's head. And they had this super, like, this rigid process of the technical side of it. So, and I know they're not the only one, but our realtor actually ended up, I found out 6 months later that conversation inspired her enough. She actually went and contacted him and wrote a book.
Really?
Yeah. But anyway, it's because like you said, it's the first step of the journey is the inspiration, the creativity, but there's just so much more going on. So
yeah, I didn't even know that
there
existed.
There are a few.
I'm sure there
probably
are.
Could have saved you a few steps.
It really could have, because it's like, you know, going, just having that one-stop shop would have been really, I think, beneficial for a lot of reasons. Because having, you know, finding individual vendors for each thing was, you know, slightly overwhelming. But
oh, you learned a lot, though.
But I learned a lot. Yeah, and you know, like I said, I ended up, you know, working with some incredible people. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So what's when's the next book?
I get asked that a lot. And my answer is always, I'm not sure. I never thought that I would write a children's book. So I don't know that another one's in the cards. It might be. I think right now there's just a lot more that I want to do with this book and focus I want to put on it. That being said, I have talked to so many people who, you know, have just put the little, you know, the idea in my head about a potential series and, you know, so many different ways you could go with Henry the Brave, and whether I stick with, you know, a cancer theme or Henry the Brave and, you know, just different kind of life things that he deals with and different topics. So we'll see.
TBD.
Yeah, TBD. I have another niece who is, you know, she said, Aunt Meg, I want a book next.
You set a precedent for your family.
Like,
everybody gets a book.
That's right.
I know Becca's talked about doing a book on was it business concepts, work concepts, engineering, designing?
ABCs of manufacturing.
Yes. So I've also thought, I think everybody, a lot of people think about it. Very few people actually go ahead and do it. So that's awesome. But a few years ago, I was talking to my, she's seven now. She must have been three or four at the time, but she'd always talked about she wanted to open up a bakery someday. She wanted to be a baker, and she wanted to start a business with her cousin and start a bakery. And I'd like, we'd be driving the car, and I would ask her, okay, so how are you going to find customers? And, you know, she had a very simple response. Well, we're going to open it on a busy street, and we're going to have a big sign.
Yeah.
And then, okay, well, you know, what are you going to sell? Well, she's like, we don't want to have too much stuff, but we want to have enough stuff so we can, you know, we can sell enough to enough, you know, a variety of people. Or, you know, she had some way of putting that. But again, like I think I said earlier, the simplicity and the concepts and just how overcomplicated adults make things, I think that's where a lot of the power is in the children's book across a variety of topics, is just it kind of brings people back to, you know, how simple things can be. So I think more books on a variety of topics would be a great idea.
Yeah, and hopefully you guys will have a book coming soon too. Yeah, that's awesome.
What's the next step, Becca?
I need to write it.
Well, if you need help with not the writing process, but just getting connected with people, I've done a lot of the legwork. So, yeah.
So you have a website.
I do.
Do you also distribute the book on Amazon or any of the other retailers?
So right now it's on, so it's through my website or through Etsy, not on Amazon right now, hopefully someday.
Okay.
And Lunar and Lake, the local bookstore here, okay, they sell it too. But yeah, mostly it's been, you know, online distribution. And I do also, you know, big kind of mission of the book is to be able to donate a lot of books, mm-hmm, to children who are currently battling cancer, and also donate some of the proceeds. So that's been really successful too, of just being able to partner with different childhood cancer nonprofits and either donate books to put in, you know, care packages that go to hospitals, or through social media, I just reach out to families directly and ask if I can send them a book, you know, if they have a kid who has cancer.
Do you accept donations on the site to help fund the book donations?
Yep. So on the site, you can do donations, or, you know, I have like a buy one, give one option where you can buy one, and then also just it's an extra fee, but it allows me to donate one. And then there's also just like a sponsor, a book donation program.
Okay.
So, and that's been, it's been really incredible just to see the kind of outpouring of support and, you know, people, you know, sometimes set up at like vendor fairs or craft shows, and people come by and, well, I don't have anyone to buy a children's book for, but, you know, absolutely, I would love to, you know, have a book donated on my behalf. So it's been really just cool to see the generosity and support from people.
That's great.
Yeah.
So if folks want to go buy the book, what's the website name?
So the website is littleheadproductions.com, or on Etsy, you can search Henry the Brave. Both work just fine. And yeah, it has kind of, it has the different options to either sponsor a book donation, buy a book, got a couple other little swag things on there as well.
Nice. So any tips, tricks, any final thoughts for anybody else that might be thinking about doing this, or anything else you want to kind of close on?
I mean, tips and tricks, I think honestly, it's like one of those things, and everyone says it, like you just have to do it.
Just get started.
You know, just get started, and then just keep going. Don't think of the finish line. Don't think of all the pieces. It's like, just get started, take the next step, and, you know, just kind of keep pushing forward. Because I think at the end of the day with this project, there's a lot of reasons I'm proud of it, but the biggest one is just that it's done. I did it. You know, I followed through. It was an idea I had for a long time, and finally it just, you know, was like, all right, let's do it. See what happens.
No, that's great. And it's, you know, I know we're in the manufacturing business, but it's just interesting to see, you know, regardless of what you design or engineer or make or manufacture, distribute, you know, just the parallels and the lessons learned. And it's cool to have that perspective. So thank you very much for coming on and talking.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Thanks for having me.
Stop by again.
All right.